One way to get the performance you want out of contractors is to get guarantees. But some guarantees aren't worth the deck plate they're engraved on. That's what the Navy and Coast Guard found out when they ended up paying to correct defects that should have been covered under written guarantees. That's what the Government Accountability Office found when it reviewed 6 shipbuilding programs. For more, we turn to Michelle Mackin, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the GAO. Michelle, good to have you back.
Hi, Tom.
You looked across where the major spending is happening now on ships. Tell us about these guarantees. What were they supposed to cover?
Yes, the Navy and Coast Guard together, we're talking about $17 billion a year in shipbuilding programs. And we covered 2 Coast Guard ships and then 4 Navy ships. And our goal was really to see what happens. This is in the post-delivery period. So the government, the ship has been delivered to the government. It's going through testing and trials. This is like an 8 to 12-month period. And what we found is the Navy and one of the Coast Guard ships, the National Security Cutter, uses what they call a guarantee. It's a contractual mechanism. Basically, it's a pot of money that's on the contract that they use to facilitate making repairs. However, one Coast Guard ship, the Fast Response Cutter, used a warranty, which is kind of the way we would think of a warranty, where they pay for it and then they submit claims and the contractor fixes the defects at their own expense.
And so what happened when defects occurred? You found that it turns out the government ended up paying for things that were under warranty.
For the Navy ships and the National Response Cutter, the government paid. The breakdown was about 89% government paid, 11% contractor. The flip side for that Fast Response Cutter, which is a small ship, we're talking about a $40 million ship, the Coast Guard paid $630,000 for the warranty and got $1.5 million back in repairs from the contractor. So that's 145% return on investment. Again, one small ship, but if you multiply those savings out, we think there's room there for the Navy to get a better deal with how it approaches defect repair.
So a warranty, then, the contractor is responsible, but under guarantees, the government pays. So what does the guarantee do at all for the government?
That is an excellent question, and one thing we found is that the Navy didn't have a clear objective for this guarantee. Again, it's a contractual mechanism. They've used it for 50-plus years. It's the way they do business. But we asked them, why are you going this route? And their main response was that it makes it easier to pay for correction because this pot of money, again, is already in contract. They also pay a contractor engineer to ride on the ship and do some troubleshooting. So that's another way that they use that guarantee. But what we found is that it's not really fostering quality performance the way a more standard warranty would. And again, we think that the taxpayer may not be getting the best deal under that arrangement.
So the guarantee is almost like those plans where you prepay for service for maybe an extended period. Like if you buy an iPhone, cost you, I don't know, $85, $100, and then they'll talk to you for 3 years on the telephone, this kind of thing. But you pay, and then in this case, the Navy paid, but that was disincentive for the contractor who was going to get paid no matter what happened.
That's right. And another key point is that the contractor's earning profit. Even when they're fixing problems, they're earning profit because that, again, is a pot of money on the contract. And we also found that after that contract is finished, the Navy will award follow-on contracts to the same shipbuilder to continue to fix the defects, again, with profit. And these defects, we're talking about hull mechanical, electrical, so welding, paint, propulsion systems, not integrating weapon systems or anything like that.
Because you've commented earlier on some of those Coast Guard ships that have had repeated engine problems and the basic operations have not been nearly what they should be after delivery of those ships.
That's right. We've found that for the Navy and for the Coast Guard's National Security Cutter, there will be defects. And even in the commercial world, the cruise ship industry, there will be defects. These are complex ships. So if you go in with that assumption, then perhaps you might want to assess, do I want to get a warranty? Maybe look at the pros and cons of doing that versus the guarantee that you've been using for 50-plus years may not be getting you the best deal.
We're speaking with Michelle Mackin, Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues. What is your recommendation for the Navy for the next round of ships, telling them to maybe skip the guarantees and try the warranty method?
We recommended, first of all, don't pay profit for these follow-on contracts to fix the problems that the shipbuilder should have fixed initially. These are issues that the contractor is responsible for. So we recommended restructuring those contracts so as not to pay more profit. We recommended that they establish a clear objective for this guarantee. What do they hope to get out of this guarantee? Because we did find confusion even with the Navy contracting officers about why are we using a guarantee. And then third, we determined if it would be beneficial to use a more standard warranty provision like the Coast Guard has on the fast response cutter. And that would mean tracking the defects, which the Navy is not always doing, and key point, submitting claims, because if you don't submit the claims, you're not going to get your return on investment.
So it sounds as if the guarantee meant we'll guarantee payment to the contractor with a profit no matter what happens. And for the Navy, it's the contractor saying we'll guarantee we can fix things, but not for free.
Right. Pretty much that's the case. And I think that profit angle is really important. And again, you know, if the Coast Guard has gotten this return on investment on the fast response cutter and you start multiplying that out across Navy ships, which are much more expensive, the Navy says the current system works for them, but it may not be working as well for the taxpayer.
Wouldn't it be more honest just to say, I don't mean that they're dishonest in their intent, but wouldn't it be more accurate to specify the price of a thing that would include the guarantee, saying this is how much it costs to build, and usually it costs us another X percent to get it right once it's delivered, then there's no confusion over the term guarantee, which for the Navy means something what most of us would not take to mean.
That would be the ideal scenario, and you know, using a firm fixed price kind of a contract would facilitate that, which is what the Coast Guard had on the fast response cutter and which the commercial shipbuilders use. The Navy uses a fixed price incentive type contract, which is a little different. But again, we think there's lessons they can learn from the Coast Guard and from the commercial sector to see if they might want to revisit their approach after five decades and maybe get a better return on investment for the taxpayer.
And just a question about the length of term for these warranties or guarantees. At what point does the ship become out of warranty or out of guarantee, and just normal breakdowns from wear and tear would cause the problems that they'd have to pay to fix?
Yeah, generally the term is 8 to 12 months for the warranty or guarantee. But one interesting thing we found on the warranty is that those terms are flowing down to the supplier, so the engine manufacturer. And what we found for the fast response cutter is they had some engine problems, and when they were fixed or the engine was replaced, they got a fresh warranty with another 12-month term on it. And then commercial side, they do the same thing, even with more extended terms of even up to 2 or 3 years. So we think there's room to perhaps be a little more aggressive with how they approach this with the shipbuilders.
And it sounds like this could potentially apply, this new system of doing things, to maybe other platforms, even that the other armed services are buying.
Potentially. You know, we're not saying that this is the be-all and end-all. It may not make sense in all cases. This is complicated stuff. But it's just that we think it needs to be explored. There needs to be some cost-benefit analysis, and it needs to be revisited.
Michelle Mackin is Director of Acquisition and Sourcing Management Issues at the GAO. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom.
Find a link to the report and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.